opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, the 26th of March, it's Friday, and 7:05 in the morning, and news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center and Compassion Community Courage at Shasta Regional Medical Center. I have Jared at the helm, and what is today? What special day is today, Jared?
Spinach Day.
Oh, wow. Finally, something I could get behind. Oh, wow.
And Nougat Day.
What?
Nougat Day.
Nougat.
Although yesterday, I want to mention, we didn't talk about it, but yesterday was Medal of Honor Day.
Oh, well, you know, I wish we had our nation's highest honor for bravery to our armed forces. In many of the cases, especially since you know World War One, that Medal of Honor is many times awarded posthumously. It is something that I've seen generals salute sergeants that were wearing that Medal of Honor. Yeah, it means a lot. Okay, well, today I have Pat Karch as my co-host.
Hey, good morning.
He's working his way in here. If you've ever heard that expression, don't let the camel put its nose in the tent. pretty soon he's just going to take over the show, and I'll just sit back in my office and read memes. But good morning, Pat.
Good morning. I got to get past your first phrase you told me when I got here. Do no harm.
That was the first thing. He's our one of our two engineers that are just redoing everything here and doing a great job. But what I say is first, do no harm.
Are you going to make him take the Hippocratic Oath?
I'm going to make him take the Bot Oath, right? And we seal it with a shot of Leatherneck whiskey. What's the weather look like today?
Oh, it's like looking pretty clear out there. It's sunny, a high near 74, a little bit of a north breezy wind, 9 to 13 miles an hour, which is good. It should be a good day to work in the yard. Clear, low around 46 tomorrow with a north wind coming in again tomorrow. And Saturday is going to be high near 78, so it's going to be a great weekend.
Great weekend. Okay. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, an Anderson-based business, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts to seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. So it's Friday. It must be time for Jim in Haven Humane. Good morning, Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hi there.
Hey. Okay.
Hey. How's it going?
I know. We have to push a certain button. what's Haven Humane got today?
Oh, let's see. I brought in today. Well, I brought in. Come on. Who am I kidding? I have Princess today. She's a 5-year-old bull terrier mix. Super cute. If you're not familiar with the bull terriers, it's not a pit bull like a lot of people think when we say that.
Aren't they white?
Yeah, she's mostly white, a little bit of brown. She's like the Target dog or the RCA dog.
Yeah, and she's also, if you remember the movie Patton, that was Patton's dog. Was a bull terrier.
So. Yeah, she's super cool. They're a really smart breed, really energetic breed, so they really need like a special family who's ready to take a challenging dog on. But so cute, I knew I had to talk about her today.
And what is a challenging dog?
Yeah, what's a challenging dog?
A dog that's almost as smart as we are.
So can you teach her to play Scrabble?
Well, she'd play Scrabble better than I can, but not saying much.
Okay, so that means is that you need to make sure she's got a job.
Exactly. Yeah, she's looking for a job. She doesn't want to be bored around the house. She'll figure out something to keep herself busy if you don't give her that thing to keep her busy. So, and that's what I mean by challenging. There's no like big behavior issues other than she's just a lot of energy and a lot of smart.
Gets along with everybody and kids and other dogs.
I don't think she's going to do other dogs. She actually her owners gave her to us. They had her for years, but she wasn't getting along with the other animals in the home. But she did great with the kids and the adults and everyone, all the visitors and everything. And in fact, it looks like she lived with the dog for some time, but then she just started getting rude to other dogs, so they couldn't have anyone come over with the dog or, take her on walks and stuff like that. She was getting too too much for them to handle. But yeah, great with humans of all sizes.
Can you work a dog up at the dog park and get them to socialize and get some of those socialization skills that they need? Is that possible?
It's definitely possible. I wouldn't do it at the dog park. I'd start in a dog socialization class, because the dog park, everyone's up there off leash and stuff, so you don't want to introduce the risk of a dog who might not like other dogs up there. Ruin everybody else's good time, but they do have socialization classes and stuff at the pet stores where, you know, it specifically allows for dogs to meet other dogs in a safe environment and things like that. So definitely possible.
Cool.
Well, yeah. You know, how much does she weigh?
So you always ask me that, and I have 52.4 pounds.
Okay. Does she like to cuddle?
She probably will cuddle for, in bits and pieces, but will hop right off again to do something else because she's just got that busy little brain going.
And how
on.
Old is she?
She's about 5 years old.
Okay. Okay. And that's Princess, right?
Princess, yep.
Okay. Anything else going on down there?
Not right now. We just finished our doggy dash last weekend. I'm not sure the results of that yet. I know right now on Facebook we're doing like a little photo contest. People can check out our Facebook page and like or react to the photos we've put up, and the winner of that's going to get a short stay at Wind River Casino. So,
all right.
If anyone wants to do that, head over there. And while you're over there, you can click donate and help us out that way as well.
Sounds great. Well, thank you very much, Jim.
Thanks
of course.
All
always a pleasure.
You bet. You take care now.
You too.
All right. Bye. Hey, Pat, we're going to take a break here in a minute, but before she walked out, she gives me this an article from from some paper. Here's the headlines. Minnesota Dinner Theater scraps Cinderella because of a too white cast.
Oh,
they've canceled
gosh.
Their plans to perform a production of Robert Hammerstein's Cinderella because the cast was essentially too white. This is in a town southwest of Minneapolis, and they decided to replace it with Footloose. After careful consideration with ongoing commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, Clan House and Dinner Theaters made it essential decision to cancel our upcoming production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. I hope we begin the production process again with a new title will allow us to put a practice on intentional process based on the work we have been doing towards equity and inclusivity. It was 98% white, said the director. That doesn't work with what we're saying we're going to do. So,
well, you know, I think they did that show. Maybe Jared could correct me. Didn't they do that show with an African-American cast at some point? Yeah, I think so.
Here's the thing is then
could have been
the dinner theater's hired a diversity consultant, Kelly Foster Water, to address their... Okay. Did you see the Biden news conference last night or yesterday?
No, it was my dog's birthday. I couldn't make it. I'm sorry.
Oh.
You know, Rover, he gets upset if I upstage him for something that's less important.
Peter Ducey, who is from Fox News, which he's the only one that really, I mean, he goes in there and he asks some pretty penetrating questions. He doesn't ask Biden like one of them did. Are you going to run again in 2024? Now, what do you think the guy's going to say? I'm 2 months into being president. Nah, I don't think I will because this is really too hard. Yeah. And he says, of course, he says, yes, I plan on running in 2024. Okay. The other thing too, I saw was that he had on his, on his podium there was a very detailed list of facts and figures, but also the photos of everybody that was in there and their names, so he could call on it. Now, frankly...
sounds like something I'd do.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know what, there's a whole bunch of people in there. Yeah. And I guess if you deal with them on a regular basis like the press secretary does...
You know them.
But if you're going in there the first time, you know, there's nothing wrong with a little cheat sheet there, you know, so you don't call... Peter Ducey, Jeb Clampett or something like that, things like that. However, they were asking questions about the border, but then, you know, the one where, they said, you know, the people are coming because of you. And
they're Biden, in total denial about this.
And Biden said, well, I'm honored by that. You know what? Don't be honored. shut the border down. But he did. He put the number one person in his administration down there to fix this.
You know what,
Vice President Harris.
What really grabs me about this, and it reminds me of when we first went into Iraq, I would get emails from someone in my family every day telling me how many people died over there. And then we got a change in administration, and it went to not a Republican, to a Democrat, and they stopped sending the emails. And the same thing, they griped about the border when it happened under Trump, and then the exact same thing is happening now, and none of those people...
Even worse, though.
Yeah. None of those people in my circle have sent anything, social media mentioned it in conversation.
No photos of kids shoulder to shoulder down there covered with the aluminum blankets?
It just shows, it really shows to me there's some hypocrisy there. You know, they really don't care about those kids. It's all about making someone look bad or making someone look good,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Baron Browning will join us. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center has a number of reasons. I can't even go into it. There's so many things they're doing over there that is just great. One of them is the TAVR heart valve replacement. They used to have to open your chest up and go in to replace valves. Now, Shasta Regional Medical Center is now using the TAVR method where they go in through an artery. It goes up through the artery into the heart, and they replace that valve with the valve they have brought up through the artery.
Yeah, it's collapsed in there, and then it expands when it gets in there. Yeah.
Exactly, expands, which means that in the afternoon, they do it in the morning, by that afternoon, you are up and walking, and you are released the next day instead of having to stay in the hospital for 3 days because they had cracked your chest open.
Exactly.
This is one of those little miracles of medicine that's happening over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. All right, let's take a quick break. 7:17 in the morning, 48 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 24th and 5th at the Redding Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for the outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 24th and 5th at the Redding Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family.
axe throwing, Euro bungee. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, 12 and under are free. Sunday, we honor our veterans with free admission all day. Per CDC social distancing and masks recommended. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 24th and 5th. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Jefferson State Adventure Hub, Crown Motors, and Reading Yamaha and Sea-Doo.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean, healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we are all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Bott with Pat Karch. Pat's my co-host today.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, if you're thinking about purchasing an electric car, Reading Electric Utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle in a charging station. Of course, maybe it's a changing station.
You wouldn't know how to use one of those, would you?
Not likely. Visit cityofreading.org/EV. For more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. I mean, it's in like in thousands and thousands of dollars. Hey, we're here with Anderson City Councilman. Are you mayor now?
Vice Mayor.
Vice Mayor. Baron Browning and his beautiful wife, Susie.
Good morning.
And Baron comes on a regular basis to talk about Anderson, but today it's a little bit different.
Today is a great day. Long time coming, but it's time to make that move. So I'm announcing my candidacy for the supervisor for District 5 in 2022.
Okay.
So here we are.
Here you are. Now, there's going to be...
And you got the first scoop.
I got the first scoop. You know, people promise me those things before, and a lot of times it comes through. Sometimes, though, you know, they'll be on the show one day, you know, on this day, and like on a Wednesday. And then Thursday they make this announcement about something, have something to do with the state, and I call them up. I go, "What?" And they go, "We couldn't make it." I said, "You could have told me about it, you know." "Oh, no, it was a secret." Anyway, but so Baron Browning is now going to run for supervisor.
Yes, District 5.
Okay, now how does all this come about? I mean, why did you decide to run?
I think it's really about, one, for me, it's always been about making sure that, you know, you do your time in whatever capacity you're in, and then you let the next person with other ideas come in, and I believe that for the city council and the city of Anderson. And along that path, you see all of these things happening at the county level that actually affect our city. And you think, man, I would have done that maybe a little bit differently. I think that it's always better to have solutions, adapt and overcome, as we learn in the Marine Corps, and not always just say no. Everything has a solution. And there might be a price to that solution, and a price that you can't afford, but you need to delve into what that solution looks like and look at all avenues to make sure that you can or can't get there in whatever avenue that is. But not just to come out of the gate and say, "No, we can't do it," I find unacceptable.
Okay. Well, tell people about Baron Browning. If they don't, you know, some people from around Reading and other places probably don't know you.
Well, first of all, I'm married to a gorgeous wife.
And you certainly
are. I say this to everybody, but when we got married, I won, she lost.
He definitely married up.
Yeah.
Way up. Marines have a tendency to do that. You know, we weigh up. We're the Mustangs, and we marry thoroughbreds. So yeah. Anyway, so.
I grew up in Eastern Oregon. Ended up going to college in North Dakota, and then went into Marine Corps reserves first of all, and then finished my tour full time my last 4 years in logistics embarkation in Norfolk, Virginia. Got out and went to work for a recycling company. Moved my way up the ladder, ended up going to work, got headhunted by Budweiser in their recycling division. would work for them. And then, of course, as you know, the downfall of the King in 2011. Budweiser was bought out by InBev, and so a bunch of us had to make different moves, and so I was one of them. We had already met my wife in Sacramento, and we ended up getting married, and she, along the path of me traveling all the time, she said, we're moving back home. She's born and raised in Anderson, graduated Anderson High School, went to Simpson College.
Oh, very good.
And we met through our jobs, and ended up, she said, I'm moving home because you're never home. So I want to be near family. So in 2005, she moved our family here to Anderson, California. And we've been here ever since. And I essentially came back in 2011 after InBev and got involved with Rotary and just involved with the city on a whole different level. And ended up meeting what I call my icons of my life, John Shera, who unfortunately passed away this past week. And Norma Komnick, who passed away last year. So it's been a rough COVID year for me and the people that have been instrumental in my life, especially for my political career. Those two were very instrumental. In fact, John and Norma both helped me with my first campaign, and John had my first and only fundraiser that I did. Back then, you know, it was running for Anderson. I only raised $4,000, and then we dumped in $2,500 of our own money. So for $6,500, we ran this campaign and ended up winning 7 years ago.
That's great. Well, you know, they have a vested interest, you know, because she's from Anderson, have a vested interest in the community. That means a lot to people when they're voting, you know, for a family or a person.
Yeah. Now, Susie.
Yeah.
Susie said, I'm just here to watch. I said, put on the earphones, get in front of the mic. So what do you think about this? When somebody runs for office, and it's a countywide office, the wife runs too. So what do you think about this?
You know, it's funny, when we first met, we never really talked politics, so it was something that I never really engaged in too much. But once we moved up here and he got involved with the city, I became more engaged, and I really didn't like the way the county was going right now on that level. And I think it was probably 4 years ago he was thinking of running and said, I'll give it 4 more years at the city level. And then he decided he would go ahead and run. And I'm actually pretty proud of him. I was just telling him this morning that, you know, I'm proud of what he's doing. I'm nervous for him because people can be very mean. And but he's a strong man and he's very level-headed. And I think he's going to do an outstanding job.
Okay. Well, you got
can we write all that down? Because we need to put that in. You know,
well, you got at least one vote there, buddy. you are registered, right? I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay, Baron. I'm going to take a early break here because I know you've got to leave in like 15 or 16 minutes because you've got to be someplace else this morning. But when we come back, I want to talk about what you'd like to see happen.
Absolutely.
If you are elected. All right, we'll be right
when?
Back.
When?
When? Did I say if?
Yeah.
When?
When?
Okay. When you know what? I say that to everybody.
Hi.
When you're
elected.
That's okay. 7:28 in the morning, 48 degrees out there. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, We provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco. 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
That's just the tip of one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your balls, you gotta draw a hard line.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Raise up our glasses against evil forces. Hey, if you've suffered from orthopedic injury, strains, or sprains, stop by Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Both Kevin Elo and Rachel Lane have got years of experience in helping you get back into the saddle again, you could say. And, training, they were trainers for the Olympic teams. They've got all types of experience to make sure that you are back and working properly. Give them a call at 533-5030. Pat Karch is my co-host today. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Carl.
And we have Baron Browning and his beautiful wife, Susie, with us. And Baron just announced that he is running for 5th District Supervisor in 2022.
Yes.
Right. What are some of the things you want to accomplish when you win? Okay. When you win. Which is what I say to everybody.
I think it's pretty simple. If you just look at what we've accomplished in the last 7 years in Anderson with economic growth, quality of life, our law enforcement side, those things have been, we've taken leaps and bounds, and those are the exact same things that we need to work on from the county level and then some. So that's not the only ones. I think we need to work on health and human services. We need to work with our partner agencies, meaning the City of Redding, City of Shasta Lake, City of Anderson. The county needs to, in my mind, not necessarily live in a bubble. but include all the different agencies when we're going down these roads and making these decisions so that, because we're all different. We all are set up just a little bit different, and it's not one size fits all. And we do that as a state, we do that as a federal government, and we do that as a county level. And I think those are the changes that we need to make where we're including our allied agencies next to us in the discussions that we're having so that we make sure that we understand the full boat of it and make sure that the goal is actually accomplished.
The COVID pandemic we've been facing here for this year, it's been an entire year now, has led to a lot of consternation at the Board of Supervisors. Have you been following that?
Absolutely.
How could you not be following that?
I listened all 6 hours this past week.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
You know, some people are saying open now. The Board of Supervisors is trying to superficially follow the, in my opinion, superficially follow the guidelines from the state. What's your overall thoughts on this?
Well, one, I think Anderson does a really good job, and we don't always agree, but we do a really good job of when the vote is done, we're done. We move on, win or lose. And we're very, very good about that. And that just shows the stability of the city council. And I've been honored enough to be on the city council in a time where we have gotten a lot of work done for the city, both in Anderson River Park, our police force. We've done just a ton of work, economic growth. We focused on the things that we set out to do. We sit down each year as a council, and we need to do that as supervisors, make our plan and stick with it.
Here's a question coming in. Does he have a plan to fight crime and homelessness?
Absolutely. I think for a long time coming, we've left out Cottonwood and Shingletown from the law enforcement side. We always make a promise that we're going to have law enforcement in the area, and we don't. So it's time that we've actually be a man of our word, or people of our word, and get those things done and actually make sure that that they're taken care of in those cities.
You know, I have a question, Carl. You know, when I worked for the county, I was in public works for a while. One of the things I realized is that the hierarchy or the chain of command, a supervisor couldn't go to a director, like in our case, Pat Minturn, and say, hey, you know, you need to fix the potholes down on this such and such a road. It really, even though the supervisors were in there, the people that were running the county, I found, were the ones that were hired to do the jobs. And a lot of times the supervisors had their wishes, that things they wanted to accomplish, but there was actually pushback and sometimes just total noncompliance from the people actually in the jobs. And so I think a lot of people in the community don't realize that even though you get a new supervisor, you may not always get everything done that you would like to have done because their powers are limited by their position. Everyone that works for the county, you know, answers to the county chief executive officer. So that's just a realization that I came to after working there for 6 years.
Yeah, and a little bit that I've gotten to know our CEO, Matt Pontus, is that he really is a guy that thinks outside the box. Great discussions with him. About our county, about District 5. And I think he's one of those guys that really will sit down and listen and try to accomplish those goals, as long as it's in the best interest of all, right?
Yeah.
And that's where we're headed for. So the other part of that question was homelessness.
Homelessness.
And I think that first of all, I think that one of our supervisors needs to sit on the continuum of care. That would be one of my first priorities to bring forward, was they need to sit on that group. I've done it for the city of Anderson. I know Aaron. I know, the city of Reading has an appointee that sits on there, and they don't appoint them. That person just goes, similar to what I did as well, to really understand where that money's going and what it's being doled out to. And that's how you really are going to make change from a county level, is seeing all of that. But, you know, if you go back to Chief Johnson's Life Center, it was a fabulous idea where you had all the services in one location. So yes, we might have arrested them, right? But if they had a drug or an alcohol addiction, then we were able to send them to some treatment, and that was right there in the same facility where they could start that program, or at least next to that facility.
Was that the one that was in the old mall at the end downstairs?
We ended up not doing it, so it didn't happen at all. But that was just one of Chief Johnson's ideas Yes, we have to arrest them. Yes, there's a price to be paid. But if we give them options, viable options, that will help them be productive members of society, then not only do they win, but we win as a community, because now they're giving back, right? They're going out and getting a job. They're earning an income. They're paying their taxes. They become that productive member of society. They rent a house or buy a house. I mean, all of those things are goal. And look, I'm not naive to the numbers. We all know that drug addiction and alcoholism is a 20% ratio of actually making it. So I know that we're only going to capture 20%, but if we start plucking off that 20% and not doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, we've got to change what we're doing. And we've got to change the way that we think and know that that is it, but we've got to start making those moves. Other cities have done this, and it's been successful. You know, Chief Johnson looked at other cities. He didn't just go, this is my idea. Yes, it was his idea. But he then went and looked, sought out what anybody else was doing and brought in those ideas. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel. The wheel's out there.
That's correct.
Let's take part in it.
Well, you know, okay, we've only got 5 minutes left. We have to let you run out of here. Would you support, you know, every time we try to pass a bond about a building a jail, it's failed. The last one had so many moving parts to it. People were absolutely confused. You know, they couldn't even find it where it said in this thing that you would build a jail. Okay. Would you support another initiative to build a jail only? That's all it would be. Build a jail only. It'd be a sales tax that would build the jail and keep the jail running. And nothing else that goes along with it.
I'm not sure whether we need a sales tax. I don't know. I mean, if you look at the numbers, there's a lot of money there. So you really need to sit down with your CEO and your finance department as supervisors and have a meeting with them and say, and it could be a special meeting, where this is all that we talk about. And that's really what should happen. We don't need to have an outside agency study it again. We just need to know what the numbers are and make financially fiscal responsibility decisions. But it's not fair to not only the county, but it's not fair to the city of Redding, Shasta Lake City, and Anderson that we haven't built a jail yet.
No, I mean, it affects everybody. Okay, last question, and then I'm going to give you a couple minutes there, is every time somebody comes in running for office for the supervisors, and even sitting supervisors, I ask this question. How about having an evening meeting now and then on a regular basis instead of everything at 9 o'clock in the morning?
Absolutely. I'm in.
Well, that's what everybody else says. It's been 10 years.
Well, so
it's been
10
years.
I've been on the council for 7 years. Every meeting's been in the evening. How's that?
And the city of Redding seems to have figured it out. I can't figure out why the board of supervisors, you know, can't figure out how to have one meeting, you know, maybe a quarter or a month, have it in the evening instead of
even one
in the morning.
A month, right? I mean, because we most of us have a job, so it's easier for coming at 6 o'clock. We have ours at 6.
Yeah.
So,
but some of those meetings run for a very long time.
And that's true. But I just think that this, so you're in on that, right?
I'm absolutely in.
Okay, well, so was Joe. And, all five of them said they were in for that. I haven't seen it.
Well, have you talked to the union that represent the people that actually make the meeting happen? That's the question.
Well,
the
thing is with that, then, instead of coming in at 8 o'clock in the morning, you come in at noon, that kind of thing. Okay. This is your last 3 minutes here, so you can talk about anything, things you want to bring, things that you believe in for our county.
First of all, I'm just honored to be in the position to do this and move forward with this. I've obviously blessed with an amazing family that's hugely supportive and a outstanding friendship circle. And I just want to encourage any of you that are thinking about, like, I'm at home, I don't know where to get involved. There's so many avenues to get involved with local charities and local clubs, whether that's Rotary or Kiwanis, where you can actually, you know, make a difference and grab those people in your lives as I did that truly help you make a difference in moving forward. And I'm so blessed that I have been on the city council for the city of Anderson for the last 7 years and worked with an amazing team of not only council members, but staff that have truly molded my political life and differently. And I'm not going to be that guy that says I'm not a politician because I've been one for 7 years, right? So absolutely I am. But I'm also a business owner, right? I've also been from the outside. I understand what it is to go inside, as we did when we tried to build our first house in the county when we first moved here. I think it's one of those things where, you know, you have to be in that position to go, I've done these things, I've experienced these issues, and now let's try to fix them.
Okay.
And let's do it.
Baron Browning and Susie Browning are here, and Baron just announced that he will be running for District 5 supervisor in this next election. He's getting ready to have a news conference here at 9 o'clock at Hawes Ranch.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to be right back.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now the new Queen Sleep Number 360 C4 Smart Bed is only $14.99, plus special financing, only for a limited time. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club. Corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Hi. This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio, your community talk radio. You know, the 7:48 in the morning, it's 48 degrees out there. It's going to be beautiful here Friday the 26th. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, veteran-owned business here in town, located in the Cypress Square. Imagine that. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They work on appointments they have for, before COVID started. You give them a call at 244-9478 Everything there, of course, is so completely clean and sanitized and all that. And they, you know, they meet all those regulations, but you get the best haircut ever. Man's Last Stronghold. What can I say?
Are you going to say it's your favorite place?
It is my favorite place.
We'll get a call again.
We'll get a call that when I say it's the best haircut barbershop in Reading, it's because I can say it because it's the only place I've ever had my haircut in Reading. So there. So let's go to the phones. Nick.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
A couple things I wanted to cover real quick. I am going to have a show on Easter morning, Poke the Hornet's Nest. That's the 4th from 8 to 9. And I'm going to pick on, I'm going to dissect Aaron Reisner's interview with you yesterday, a few spots. And I'm also going to get on.
Wait a minute. You didn't ask my permission to use my.
Yeah, you
my
can't
show.
Use someone else's content.
Come on.
Hey, I call in and bump up your listenership. You ought to give me a little something.
Well, we just watch. We have this graph. We have this needle. And every time you call in, it drops to 4. So,
only 3 less than listen to my show.
Okay. I'm giving you permission to use my show.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm also going to dissect Goldberg's A News Cafe, an article on there that is just really, I don't know, it's slander in my opinion, and I'm going to hit that very heavy. But I want to encourage your listeners to listen to Matt Nemo this Sunday from 8 to 9. I talked to Matt, and he's way ahead of most of all of us about what's going on with our country and how this is a slow takedown that a lot of people aren't even realizing. Now, getting to Barron Browning, he said we should get involved with charities. Most of us working people are involved with charities, paying taxes to the biggest charity of all, which is our government.
Well, he's talking about getting into the continuum of care, which is an established organization that's supposed to be helping the homelessness and find out what they're doing and how they're doing.
Somebody laughed on the chat room. Somebody's got a sense of humor left. You know, he was open to a little bit to just a tax for a jail. He didn't really just shoot it down into the ground. And one thing I thought about when he said, well, there's already money there, we need to reapportion it. If they could get a tax passed for a jail, all that money there that they could use for the other programs, because we're not going to give them more money for that.
No, I understand that. But also what he said was, before he would say anything about a tax, he wanted to make sure that there was, that there wasn't sufficient funds that they could do it before. You know, he's not going to just go in and say, nor would I, nor would you say, okay, let's just have a tax without looking at the finances of the county. Maybe, how is the county money allocated? As we know, about, 78% of it is already allocated when it hits here. So what's the other 12% that we could get? So, okay, Nick.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
What a great guy.
When I go, okay, Nick knows it's time to go. The other things that are going on around here, but you haven't been on the show before, Pat. What are some of the things that concern you, so people get to know you? People, Pat's, a retired county employee. Your last duties were over at Reading School of the Arts, where you were the facilities manager.
Right, and prior to that, it was with the County of Shasta. The homeless situation. I think they're simplistic in their thinking. Our experience with the homeless is pretty good. My wife Pam and I have been involved in the mission, and we have taken in homeless people into our homes. And there are some serious mental issues going on and addiction with these folks. So when people say, "Well, let's build a place for them to live," a lot of them don't want to live in their place. They opt out of society because they don't want responsibility. They don't want to be, in a place where they have to owe anybody anything. We have friends who have homeless family members, and I can tell you from experience that there is not one size fits all option. You can build a homeless shelter, but then who's going to clean the thing? And then there's going to be a hierarchy in the camps, just like there is now. There's someone in charge. It's like being a little king down there. And it's not an easy solution.
Well, when this came up before, it's like, why don't we just fence off 50 acres, put in toilets and shower facilities and this kind of stuff, and then let people, that's where they go to. Well, the only problem is as soon as you do that and you become, you can even have them sign waivers. It makes no difference. It makes no difference. As soon as you do that, you're going to be on the hook for it. So the first time somebody gets hit in the head with a rock or raped or anything down there,
you're liable. The county's liable.
The city or the county is liable for that.
Right.
And it's just in today's society, you know, there would be certain lawyers, not all lawyers, of course. You can't say all lawyers are a certain way, but there would be certain lawyers circling that encampment like vultures waiting for something to happen.
Right. What it needs is you need almost one-on-one mentorship. It would be better if people would volunteer to be associated with a homeless person, get to know them, perhaps have them come and stay with them, put up or shut up. And even with the last gal that we had, we finally convinced her to go down to public health and get a diagnosis from the psychiatrist. She had a severe bipolar that she'd stopped taking her medicine when she was 19. Now, when we got her, she was 30. She came back to me. She said, they wanted me to sign this document, this diagnosis says that I'm a danger to myself and others. And she said, I'm not going to sign that because I'm not a danger to myself. So she could not get the medicine that she needed because they required her to sign the diagnosis.
Was she a danger?
She was not a danger. You know, she was definitely, she had a mental problem. She couldn't talk to her very well, but she was also brilliant. She had two master's degrees and design.
Well, bipolar people are really strange. Mm-hmm. I mean, I dated a girl that was bipolar, and when she was on her meds, she was just
fine.
I mean, just a very intelligent. She went through architecture school. I mean, did all that, design school. But she said, I don't want to take my meds anymore. And so that relationship lasted like a week.
And that's what
happened.
And
then I said, well, you know what? You're going downhill here, and it's noticeable. No, it's not. And I figured, well, okay. So
right. You need.
So I walked away from that.
This is why I say you need to have someone who can attach themselves to each homeless person. For a little while, June had a great program where they would get them tickets back to their family and not just export them out of the county with nowhere to go. But when they got back home, there was someone waiting for them and somewhere to live, someone to take care of
that
them.
That is absolutely a great program, and I don't know where that is right now.
I think it's suspended right now.
It could be suspended. I don't know. But, see, to me, that was a great program. In fact, we had friends, the McConnells, that had met somebody like this, and, you know, it was costing so many hundreds of dollars, even more than that, to get somebody on a bus to ship, you know, send them. They put him on a plane, and he flew back to the East Coast where his family was waiting for him.
Mm-hmm.
Nonstop, and it cost like a third of what they were charging to get them across the country on a bus.
Sure.
And it worked. So, I mean, there's ways of doing this, and I think everybody here would go, well, if they want to go home, I'm going to put in $5 or $10 or $100 to get them home.
Yeah.
But you got to get them home. You know,
if they want to go home, a lot of times the reason they moved out in the first place is because they couldn't get along with the people at home. You know, they were kicked
out.
That
could be.
Yeah, well, often it is. Yeah, or they're on drugs.
I think you should say, hey, you know what? It's getting cold around here. I'd like to go to Miami. You know, Miami's nice and warm, and it's got all types of neat things down there for you. And then you just put them on a plane.
The thing is, Redding is unique. People don't realize, and maybe they do realize, we have pretty temperate climate. If you want to live outside, it's a great place to live outside.
Well, and that's what they're doing.
Okay, we're also on an I-5 corridor. Yep. Okay, we're also in a county seat where they can get all of their services for free. So for being homeless, this is a great place to be.
Of course it is. Now, the question is you go out there, like you said, and we help 20% of them that really want to be helped. What about the other 80%? Or even let's just say you help 50%. So now you've got 50% out there saying, nope, this is just what I'm going to do. I'm going to live off the land. I'm going to be the king of my camp here. What do you do with those?
Sometimes you cannot do anything with them, but we still have to be diligent and work with the ones that we can contact and make them understand that someone cares for them. And that's the thing. You have to really develop a relationship. It's not something you can do. If they don't trust you, they're not going to listen to you.
Well, that's true, but trying to get trust,
that takes time.
When they're on, you know, our jails have become mental facilities.
Right.
And that is so unfortunate because there are no mental or there's very few, though we're building more and more of them. But
and even in California, you know, you can't have someone committed,
against their will, unless it's like a 51-50,
right,
where they're a danger to themselves or others.
Right.
You're right. And then they can walk away.
Anytime.
After they get their meds and okay, then they can be turned loose.
Yep.
Shasta Regional started that. They had 22 beds that they had just for people like that. And they had that place full, and then as they get stabilized and they move on back out onto the street again.
Yeah, we had a facility like that when I was with the county down at Breslauer, and it went, you know, pretty well.
We gotta
still
run
all the time. We got to go, yeah.
Okay, hey, we're going to take the news, and we have one safe place. Pat's going to be running the show here. Hey.
See you back on the other
Yay,
side.
Yay, Pat.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Cleanup in the very early stages across parts of the South, pummeled by a swarm of tornadoes overnight. Damage extensive. At least 5 deaths reported in Alabama. Communities near Birmingham were hit. And Noonan, Georgia, about 35 miles southwest of Atlanta, got slammed.
We received calls this morning right after midnight of a tornado that had hit downtown Noonan. That area that was significantly damaged was around the Noonan High School area.
Noonan Fire Chief Stephen Brown talking with WSB-TV. Numerous homes and businesses have been flattened, trees shattered, tens of thousands without power, and more severe weather threatens the South today on into the weekend. President Biden describing as un-American Republican attempts to crack down on election fraud, but that didn't stop Georgia's governor from signing voting reform legislation.
The election bill passed by Republicans in the Georgia legislature includes requiring people to have a photo ID to cast an absentee ballot. Republican Governor Brian Kemp signed the measure, and in this from Georgia Public Broadcasting, Kemp criticizes opponents who say the law is designed to suppress the vote.
They're using outrageous false rhetoric to scare you and put millions of dollars in their own pocket.
The new measure cuts the time people have to request an absentee ballot, limits where ballot drop boxes can be placed and when they can be accessed, and gives the legislature and its appointed head of the state elections board control over elections and local election officials. I'm Tim McGuire.
The Commerce Department reports consumer spending slumped 1% last month, spending depressed by bad weather around the country. Watching Wall Street this hour, stocks are higher. The Dow is up 162 points, the NASDAQ ahead 36, and the S&P trading 20 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I have 2 dogs, Sam and Bailey. Both are golden retrievers. Poor Sam, he was a mess. Always itching, his paws were soaking wet all day from just constant licking. He had bald spots on his back. I just don't like putting shots and steroids into your dog all the time.
DinoVite.com.
DinoVite is nutrition. Probably 2 weeks after he started DinoVite, I started seeing great improvements, and today 99% of his issues are non-existent. It's amazing stuff. Since Bailey has been 12 weeks old, he's been a DinoVite dog, and he has 0 issues today. He won't eat his food without DinoVite. When I get out the DinoVite, my dogs actually salivate, like I'm getting them a treat. They drool over it. DinoVite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my DinoVite from DinoVite.com.
The Ethiopian Prime Minister says Eritrea has agreed to withdraw its forces from the embattled Tigray region, where witnesses have described them as looting, killing, and raping civilians.
Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed arrived in Eritrea's capital Asmara on Thursday under international pressure to rein in his ally, President Isaias Afwerki, and his troops. Now, Eritrea has agreed to pull out its soldiers from Tigray, but no date has been given for the move and no mention of justice for their alleged victims. It was only this week, after 5 months of fighting in Tigray, that Mr. Abiy formally acknowledged that troops from Eritrea had crossed over into Ethiopian territory.
And that is BBC correspondent Catherine Biarahenga reporting. News and analysis, townhall.com. A rare work of art fetches more than $15 million at a Sotheby's auction.
Vincent van Gogh's Street Scene in Montmartre was highly anticipated, as was one of the few paintings by the Dutch Impressionist master to still have been in private hands. The auction house says the work remained in the same family collection for more than 100 years out of the public eye. It was painted in 1887, 1 year after Van Gogh moved to Paris and lived in Montmartre while he was lodging with his brother Theo. He left the French capital in 1888 for southern France, where he lived until his death in 1890. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
About 2,000 people turned out last night, a vigil honoring the 10 people who were killed in the Colorado supermarket massacre. It came just hours after lawyers for the shooting suspect asked during his first court appearance that he receive a mental health evaluation before the case against him can go forward. Again on Wall Street, the Dow's up 180 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Hey, welcome back. KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com on a beautiful day in downtown Reading. Today it's going to be sunny with a high near 74, slight breeze blowing a little bit, starting to get those allergens blowing around, right, Pam? Yeah, we're going to starting to get some of that blown around. Tomorrow it's going to be clear, around 46, and a little breeze there, and looking at a good weekend here, sunny. And probably up into the mid-70s. Well, good morning to everyone. And in the studio right now, I'm honored to have my wife, Pam Karch.
Good morning.
Good morning. And also, we want to spend some time talking about One Safe Place. And joining us now is Amanda Lampard and Kelsey DeFilippo, right?
Yeah, you said that name great. Good morning.
Great. Well, you know, I am half Italian. That helps a little bit. My mother was a Peixoto, so I wanted to get it right for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. We want to spend some time talking about One Safe Place and what One Safe Place offers to the community. And I was hoping that you guys could just start off, maybe give us a little history on One Safe Place and what it is and where it's located and how do people contact that. Do you mind?
Yeah, definitely. So our story actually started way back in the 1970s. You might have heard the name Gretchen Peterson.
Oh, yeah.
She was a 72-year-old widow and would literally open up her doors. She would put people in rooms, in the garage. She would be basically, she made her house a safe shelter, and people would call her, you know, mama, mom, grandma, and she was just a hero, basically. So that's kind of where our story started before there was any organization or nonprofit even. It was just a concerned citizen who said, you know what, I'm going to open up my home and have people stay with me.
And didn't that morph into several different names as it went through the...
Yeah.
Definitely. Do you remember? Well, I can't remember some of those.
Yeah, so we were Shasta Women's Refuge a while.
Right, yeah.
And then there was another program that arose, which was the Family Justice Center. And then eventually we combined those two programs and, you know, founded One Safe Place, did rebranded, just so that people are aware that we don't only help women, but we also help men and children. So that's why we did One Safe Place. And now we're at 2250 Benton Drive ever since 2015 at the Sierra Center.
Amanda, were you at the Shasta, the Justice Center? What was the right, correct
Family
name of that?
Family Justice Center. Yeah, Family Justice Center. Yeah. I was not at the time. Yeah.
That was, I think, as I recall, down in the end of the mall, the south end of the mall. In fact, excuse me. I remember that, Pam, didn't we get them, they couldn't open because they had a problem with
their kitchen. Yes.
And the I was working for the county at the time, and the county was not willing to spend any money on it. And Pam and I actually went down there and did a small remodel on the kitchen so they could become compliant and then open. And there were various agencies represented. It was like one-stop shopping, as I recall. I think, was it Mike Burke that was?
Yeah, that's right.
That was a great program. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good program. Well, okay, so after that, then what happened?
Yeah, we merged. So all the programs that the Family Justice Center already had, which were wonderful, merged with the shelter idea, which was Shasta Women's Refuge at the time. And then so now all of our services are co-located in the same spot. And I, you know, I invite you guys to come take a tour. you know, if you'd like. But our building is beautiful. You know, the shelter upstairs is top of the line. It's so hopeful. There's light coming through. It's not what you would normally think of a shelter. And there are private rooms so people can, you know, take time to heal on their own. And then there's a shared living space, a shared living room. There's a teen room, children's room. It's beautiful.
And the rooms are large enough for the mom or the dad and the children?
Right, yeah. So they're, most of them are just like a single room with a bathroom attached to it. And then it's either bunk beds or, you know, there is a family room. It's a little bit bigger.
How does this differ? Pam, you've been down to the one at the Mission. Mm-hmm. What is this called? House of Hope, right? Mm-hmm. What is that like?
Well, that's kind of got a similar theme to it because when you have children, you're going to have them with you too. But there it's pretty was close quarters. But now it's changed because they have a new building, remember?
Oh, yeah, in the back,
so,
right.
Yeah.
Do you guys work in conjunction with the House of Hope at all, or are you totally
Yeah, separate? I mean, we're definitely partners. You know, sometimes we have people call in, and they're just kind of in a situation where they don't have a place to live. That doesn't quite fit our criteria. We serve survivors of domestic violence and or sexual assault. And so if it doesn't fall in that category, unfortunately, it's like out of our funding. And so we can definitely refer them to the Mission, and hopefully they can get help there.
And this is for men also. This came to my attention. I had a coworker a while back who actually was getting beat up by his wife. And at mm-hmm. some point he asked me, you know, what should I do? And I said, well, you probably need to move out, you know, unless you just want to continue to endure this punishment.
Yeah.
And we at the time didn't even think of you guys. Mm-hmm. We just automatically looked to friends and family mm-hmm. for where he could go. But so men could end up there. What is the percentage of, you know, men to women? I think that mostly it's women, right?
Yeah, mostly it is women. For domestic violence in general, it's 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men. Having said that, we know it's extremely underreported. And, you know, there are still people out there who don't think men can be battered or even sexually abused when, in fact, they can and are. Maybe they're a little bit less likely to seek help.
Righto. Well, what else can you tell us about the program, what you guys are doing today and anything that's coming up
that
we need to know about?
So April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and we, you know, we take that very seriously. As you know, we're a dual services agency, so we're both a rape crisis center as well as a domestic violence agency. And so Kelsey and I are going to talk a little bit about definitions of sexual assault, maybe how you can help a friend, and we're just going to dig deeper a little bit into those topics.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Amanda. Yeah, so first I want to kind of talk about the warning signs of sexual assault. This can look different for children, teens, and adults, but some of the most common warning signs can be signs of STIs or sexually transmitted infections or changes in appetite, changes in sleep, sleeping too much or sleeping too little, mood swings, depression, maybe grades are falling. So if you're a parent, you know, these are some of the signs you can watch out for in kids. And, you know, if you see these signs, it doesn't necessarily mean they have experienced sexual assault, but it's good to have that in the back of the mind so you can help early on, right?
You know, my experience in schools, and I've worked in schools since 1980, except for my time at the county, I was in facilities, but I know that the teachers, especially the older teachers, really got tuned in to when a kid started to fail or they were starting to act out or something. A lot of times, you know, just on the surface, people would say, well, it's just him or her, you know, they don't know. But most often there is something going on at home or somewhere with someone. And so the teachers begin to recognize this. And in time, you know, that's where you had to become a mandatory reporter, you know, if you saw something in a kid, a bruise or something like that. And the whole system improved to really help children get through that. And, you know, the mandatory reporting requirement was put into place.
Yeah, that's definitely a great point. You know, it's hard when you're a teacher and you're dealing with 20 or 30 students and to be in the moment, you know, it can often frustrate you and think, oh, they're just, you know, having bad behavior. But like you said, oftentimes it's something at home, and that's really good to help, you know, even educate teachers on about what is happening or what could possibly be happening at home and how can you help. So I really think that, you know, mandated reporting is crucial in that way.
When that something like that happens or someone comes in, what is the contact with the family that is, you know, still back home? I mean, I always envision a woman moves out with her kids, comes to you guys, and then the next day the guy finds out he's, you know, where she's at, and he comes banging on your door. Does that happen, or what do you do with that?
Well, if that happens, we can neither deny or confirm who is at our shelter. So, and that's intended, you know, to keep people safe. So that's kind of what we do. I don't know if Amanda wants to add anything to that.
Well, yeah. is there like a front? I haven't been to the facility. We'd like to go, Pamela. Yeah. I'd like to go. But is there like a front lobby that, you know, prevents people from going farther?
Yeah. Or? So when someone rings the doorbell, we have, I forget what it's called, but, you know, it's like latched. You have the key card to go in.
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forgot what that's called. But so you, and not only in the front, but every single door has that. So you can get stuck anywhere in our facility if you don't have
gotcha.
One of those.
So they just can't barge and run through the
no.
place.
No, and to be fair, we do have perpetrators that will circle our premises, will drive through our parking lot, will try to intimidate, will park across the street, will call, will come in. If at any time we feel unsafe as a staff, we mm-hmm. call law enforcement, and they're actually super close to our building, and they'll be there really fast.
Okay, well, you know what? We're going to have to take a break here. But when we come back, I'd like to talk about when you do call law enforcement, what's the role that you guys play in that and what often happens. Mm-hmm. So just before we go, just want to remind folks that you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com. We will be back on the other side. See you soon.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we are all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. For this month, we're reviewing Arturo Fuente's Hemingway Classic. With curves of a supermodel, this Perfecto has a superbly balanced, toothy, and attenuated Cameroon wrapper, and pairs exquisitely with a complex filler and binder that indulges the palate with citrus, coffee, cocoa, and cedar. Come down to the shop for your Arturo Fuente Hemingway Classic today, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Welcome back to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Pat and Pam Karch are in the studio for Carl. He's out on assignment. Actually, Carl didn't tell me what he was doing. Jared, do we know what Carl did? What he's doing now?
He did not let me know either.
Yeah, well, we only work for him, so, you know. Anyhow, we're having a good day today. We're in the studio at KCNR, and just wanted to let you know it's sunny. Going to be kind of warm out there, 74, with a light breeze, and that's going to be going through the weekend. It's going to be a good weekend if you want to get outside and do something. But right now in the studio, we have Amanda Lampard and Kelsey Del Filippo. I hope I got that right.
Yep. Pretty close.
And they're from One Safe Place. One Safe Place is a refuge for abused people and women and men that need to get out of the house in a bad situation. You have an event coming up you want to talk about.
We were just talking in general about Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And Kelsey was talking a little bit about some warning signs with kids, you know, if they're all of a sudden not interested in schoolwork or if there's loss of appetite, sleeplessness, things like that, things to look for that, you know, maybe you need to have a conversation with your child and see if there's anything that changed or something that they need to tell you, letting them know they're not going to be in trouble for whatever happened, and having those conversations. And we were talking about teachers. I think Kelsey also wanted to talk a little bit about online safety because I think that's very important in today's age.
My gosh.
Yeah, definitely. It's a huge one, you know, as we're all almost online right now and there's all those dating apps right now, plus keeping safe on social media. So with online dating and dating apps, ways to stay safe is, you know, maybe use different photos for your dating profile. You know, maybe don't use like that can show your location.
Now, you're talking for what age group are we talking about? Like people that are going to be dating, like our kids after they turn 25, right? They can date in our family or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, these days, you know, kids can be on there, I feel like, at a really young age. Hopefully at an appropriate age, you know, not too young. But, you know, there's 12-year-olds on there now.
Oh, my gosh.
So, which is unfortunate in some ways, but you know, this can really help, you know, knowing ways to help keep them safe.
Have you guys had some experience with kids that have been targeted in your work at One Safe Place online?
Mm-hmm.
And tell me about that. I'm just curious. How do they get the contact from the person? Is it not email or social media or what is it?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak personally or I can't speak for, you know, victims at our place. I don't know specifics about that. But in general, in the community or friends I've had, you know, sometimes they're on dating apps, they get messaged from that person. And then sometimes, you know, they're so vulnerable and like that person may say like, hey, want to meet up or can I have your phone number? And so they'll just hand out their phone number without knowing, like, is this a real person or is it a scam? Am I getting catfished?
Is this person who I think it is too? That's a big one.
Right.
Because, you know, they might think they're talking to a 14-year-old, you know, student from the same school.
It could be some 30-year-old guy.
Yeah, so it could be a different picture of the person. So an important thing, you know, a lot of apps have the option to link like a Facebook profile or Instagram profile. So sometimes it's kind of important to check those profiles out or try to find that name on social media so you can see like, okay, that cannot be real too. But if they have more pictures on like a Facebook page or Instagram with friends and such, it could be
more real. I'm not saying it is, but it could be a little bit better than just having, like, one photo altogether.
And those platforms can be used. I think we've even had some of our adult children that have used those platforms to find their mate, actually.
Yeah.
In fact, one of our oldest daughters and her husband found each other on some dating site. I don't even know what
it
is.
We're not going to name them anymore.
We're not going to name them. And they are happily married and, now have
a family
of three. But I could see the risk there. Anytime, if you're working in a platform, I imagine if you stay within the platform for contact and not give out your phone number or your other email address, it would be safer. Because you're always going through the platform, right?
Definitely. Yeah. And I think even thinking back to some of the stories that I remember there's also stories of, you know, blackmail. And so maybe kind of letting the person know, oh, can you hop on in the camera? I want to see you. I want to see your body or something. And as soon as they do that, then they're like, I have this video of you. If you don't give me money, I'm going to release it to everybody. And then they do end up giving them money. And I think youth in particular are especially vulnerable because a lot of them, this is their very first relationship. And they don't know what's normal or what's not. They don't know what's healthy or what's not. They might think that maybe their parents are old school or they don't, you know, they're not going to have advice for them. Or maybe they came from a home like myself that I didn't have, you know, a mom and a dad in the same household. So I didn't know who to ask. And so I think that's why it's important for us with prevention that we go into the schools, we have these conversations. But then if you're listening, you're a parent, you definitely want to over communicate what is healthy in a relationship. Because when we take surveys with kids, most of them say they've never had these conversations. But then when you ask the parents, they're like, oh, we have this conversation all the time. So it's definitely a disconnect there. It's funny.
Over-communicate. Mm-hmm. That is, dude, what you need your kids to be able to tell when they take the survey is, I'm tired of my parents telling me that all the time, you know. That would be really the... So when you go into the schools, what do you do? Do you, like, go to the principal first of a local school, like, somewhere in Reading, like Enterprise or something, and say, here's a program we'd like to do?
Yeah, definitely. We have an MOU with Enterprise, and we go into their after-school program. And so right now we're mainly talking about bullying and, like, sexual harassment for the older kids, but we want to dive into healthy relationships, coping with stressful situations, and kind of more into that area. But it's all really, really important for kids to learn because they may not have that at home. They may not get that message from their parents.
Yeah, I don't think I had that where I came from. At least, I don't know. Did you have that, Pam, or anything come into your classroom and say, you know, you got to watch out for stalkers or, you know?
They didn't have the internet when dinosaurs walked the earth.
Oh, well, why?
I know for me, I definitely didn't have that conversation. I think I learned more in schools, but nothing from my parents. So, you know, so it's definitely never too early to, you know, I mean, maybe a little early to have the conversations for kids, but it's always good to have those conversations. And, you know, you can adjust it to make it, like, appropriate for their age and stuff, you know. Saying, like, it's okay to say no to somebody, you know, letting them know.
Right. And that conversation could change as they get older and begin to understand more.
Definitely.
You just, you know, you have to be specific, too. I think you need to actually use the terms that you're uncomfortable with. I know that in our group of friends, you know, a lot of them would feel uncomfortable, you know, even using the word sex in the same conversation with their child, right? They just, oh, man, they just don't go there. But if you want them to, you don't want to get to the end of the road after they've had a bad encounter with someone and wish that you would have done it. It's better to do it up front. Just be honest and real and use the terminology that, you know, that they are familiar with, that they're hearing at school. You have to learn what that is. And there's a lot of little clue words. You know, I'm at 62 years of age and no children at home. I'm really probably out of the loop. But there's a lot of clue words that kids use and words change. You know, I don't even know. Maybe you guys could share with me what
she
parents...
She mentioned one. Catfish.
What is that?
Yeah. So that is kind of pretending or to, like, who you are, like, lure someone on the, I mean, I'm not on any dating platforms currently. So, but I've had friends who are just kind of like... It's not so much like a real person. It's just like, hey,
fishy.
Like...
just fishing for something from that other person. It's like, or sometimes people will be like, I want to make sure you're not catfishing me, so can you post, like, can you video chat me? So
That's the way to do it. The technology is there. You can use it. Yeah.
But that can also be backwards because, like you said, like, if you send something out to show that you're a real person, it's like, okay, well, is that person catfishing you too? And just saying, like, I don't want to be catfished,
right,
but this is a way to, like, get you to, you know, talk to me or, like, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, one of the other things I want to make sure we cover, let's see, I'm ticking on time. We got 1 minute. Well, we might have to do it when we come back. But when we come back, I want to talk more about the thing that I've more become aware of in my age group, and that is women who, specifically, I'm talking women who have needed to leave a relationship and needed a place to go. And perhaps Pam and I can share a little bit with you guys how we've helped to, I call it an extraction, under the cover of darkness to get them out of their situation. And many times they come and live with us and they'll actually, you know, park around the corner and stuff like that. So we'll get to that when we come back. Remember, you're listening to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com. It's a beautiful day in Reading. We'll see you on the other side of this break.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, and there is no better time to get screened than right now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%. And as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't
going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at kcnr1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
All right, and welcome back to KCNR. You're live downtown Reading on Market Street as we're here in the hub, the center of what's happening in Reading. It all emits from the KCNR studio right on Market Street. That's true. Did you know that? This is the center of Reading right here. Everything that happens in Reading, comes here first, has to be cleared and checked by Carl and Linda before people can run for office. Before they can, take their dog to the groomer or whatever, it all has to come through. This is a clearinghouse for information in Reading. So if you're listening right now on FM or AM or streaming live, you found yourself in the right place. And today we're here. Pat Karch is my name. I'm covering for Carl. I don't know why. He just didn't tell us why he had to leave. So I asked my wife, Pam, to join us. Hi there.
Hi. I'm not Linda, but I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're not Linda because otherwise I'd be in trouble.
Okay.
And we're talking today right now with Amanda and Kelsey, who are from One Safe Place. One Safe Place is down on Benton Drive. It's a shelter. I guess you could call it a shelter, a haven maybe, for folks that are abused or come out of bad relationships. And
yeah, definitely.
And recap again how it started for folks that are just joining us. We're on the backside of the hour here.
Yeah, so we started out in the 1970s with Gretchen Peterson opening up her home. For anybody that needed a place to stay, and she was actually a 72-year-old widow. And then after she did that, they officially opened Shasta Women's Refuge a couple of years later. And then they also opened the Family Justice Center, which eventually merged and rebranded, renamed to One Safe Place, so that everybody knows that we don't only help women, but we help men, we help children, anybody that needs help with domestic violence, sexual assault, human trafficking. We actually help stalking, elder abuse as well.
That's cool. And how do you guys get your funding? To run a building like that down on Benton, it's got to cost some money. Where does that come from?
We're mainly funded through grants, and they are federal grants. They come from the crime victims.
VOCA. The center?
Yeah. I forgot what the acronym stands for. But
it's grant funding, right?
Yeah, it's grant funding, and it's not really taxpayer money. It's more like, when perpetrators go to jail, they'll...
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
pay reparation.
Exactly.
And this is where that funding comes from. The reparation that people have to pay.
That is the perfect place for it to come from, because that's the need for this place is caused by those people.
Yeah. We are also largely funded by donations and events, which has been kind of a heartbreaking, couple of years. Oh, since 2020, basically. But
COVID,
2020,
yeah.
2021, we have canceled all of our events. And, that has been a challenge.
I was looking into your website earlier this morning, and I was looking through the events page, and it popped up, and I was playing piano for Linda, and we must have been down at the, down by the river in Turtle Bay?
The Sheraton.
It would look like a Roaring Twenties thing.
That was the best event. Yeah, super fun.
Yeah, that was good. We had some great musicians
probably
there.
Probably one of the last things, wasn't it?
It really was, one of the last events we did.
Before.
And an event like that, how much money would something like that raise? Do you recall?
I actually don't.
Tens of thousands or thousands or tens of thousands or more than that?
Maybe tens.
Good chunk.
and then the expenses that are covered. You have the operating costs of the building, but are there some staff that work there all the time?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we have we have over 20, maybe over 25 full, you know, full-time staff.
And what are those positions? Tell us a little bit about that.
We have people that work up in shelter, so they're shelter advocates. We have a children's advocate, so their role is mainly just to meet with the children and get their needs met. And then we have client services shelters, so I'm sorry, advocates. So those are the people that, you know, if someone walks through the door and they need to talk about their situation, they'll talk with a client services advocate. And then you have people like Kelsey and I, we're in prevention. Mm-hmm. And so our role is mainly to go out to the community and talk about these things, as well as educate people that want to become volunteers or new staff and things like that. And then you have fund development staff, so they're more of, you know, fundraising and events and the backbone of getting us funded. And then you have grant people, finance people. Yeah. There's all sorts of people in our building that make it run every day.
Yeah, and I'm, in addition to being a prevention educator, I'm also a client advocate out at the college. So Shasta College has a program called Shasta Cares. It stands for Campus Advocacy Resources and Education. For safety, so I think I got that acronym. But right now it's, you know, classes are online, but normally when it's in person, it's a safe place for, you know, students to go to for have an advocate.
Is this an actual location on the Shasta College campus?
Yes, there's a Shasta Cares building. So that way, you know, I'm out there, not so much right now, but when school's more in session, you know, it's a place for students to go to that's confidential.
Wow.
And can speak to if they're experiencing stalking, sexual assault, domestic violence.
In that age group where, yeah, I could see that would be very important.
That age group at Shasta College is a pretty wide age group.
Yeah. Well, no one's been stalking me. I was going there when I was in my 30s and 40s, you know.
Yeah, so it's great to have that collaboration, too, with them.
Well, one of the things I'd like to talk about, and we talked about this on the break, and you guys are going to have to help me with this. Something I've noticed in my age group is a lot of times a marriage will fall apart, and most often the wife will leave. And a lot of times they literally have nowhere to go. They have no resources. They have no assets. And on occasion, Pam and I have put gals up at our house for an extended period of time. And Pam, this is where Pam really, she takes the lead on this, because it's not only not really appropriate for me to really talk with them about that, but I don't really understand, because of my background, what they're going through. And Pam seems to be so good at that. What is it like to have families like us take these folks in? Is that something that you guys think is a good thing, or should they always come to the center, or what's your take on that?
I think that, you know, if you're in a position to help them, and because we always ask, like, do you have another safe place to go before, you know, seeing if they're in need of assistance? So the more safe places out there and you're capable of providing them help, I think the better.
Right on.
I also think, like, it's okay for them to stay with someone else who, you know, can help them in that situation, maybe to a place to sleep, right? Or maybe someone that can give them food for the time being. But they're more than, you know, welcome and encouraged to come to us for counseling, to come to us to get a restraining order, or to even talk about what their options are. So I think what's important for people to know is that you don't have to be an expert to help people. You just have to be someone who's willing to help, really. That's all it takes. And then let the rest of the things, you know, let them come to us for that.
Exactly.
For that extra help, basically.
Yeah. So you don't have to actually be physically staying at the shelter to get these services.
Absolutely not. No. Yeah. No.
What, you know, one of the things that Pam, you've tried to tell me, and I often wonder, well, why did the woman hang in there so long with this guy, you know, that I would call? You know what, a call, if you guys are not. I come from Trinity County, and one of my father-in-law used to call guys that he didn't like a cull. Have you ever heard that term, cull?
I have not.
Okay. So when you're logging out in the woods and you see a beautiful fir tree and you cut it down, a cull is a tree that looks beautiful on the outside, but it's rotten in the core. Okay, and he used to have a definition for the call in terms of boys that he didn't like, and particularly one son-in-law that he didn't like, whose name I'll just make up was Randy. Let's call him Randy. He would say about Randy, you could give him a brand new, he had an Arkansas accent, you could give him a brand new car, and in a week's time, he'd had it traded down to a wheelbar with a flat tire. And I often wonder, why would these women hang with a guy like that for so long and take this abuse? But this is a question, Pam, I don't know what.
Well, I'm not an expert, but I can tell you, it's, bottom line usually has to do with finances and that where else am I going to go? Mm-hmm. I have nowhere else to go. And that's the first thing that comes up in your mind. I've got to be, or he'll change. I know he'll change. Mm-hmm. That's another one that they say. And it's forever hopeful. It's a woman. Men will look at it like this. Okay, I'm being beaten. It's time for me to leave. Or, you know, I've got to contact somebody. I've got to get out of here. Women are looking at a whole scope of things. They're not looking at just I'm being beaten. They're looking at all the children. They're looking at all the finances. All of this mm-hmm. comes into play, and yeah. that's what's going on in their mind in a circle continually to try to
yeah.
get it and to stop.
Yeah, I think Pam is right. That is definitely one of the biggest reasons is financial reasons. Because it's actually, when we look at the power and control wheel, it's one of the aspects is like financial, basically if you're dependent on someone, like maybe you stayed home with the kids, you're not going to have, like you said, assets to right. support you outside of that. So we kind of look for ways where we can support them,
okay.
you know, maybe getting a job.
Well, you know, when we come back, let's go review that power wheel. I saw it on your website. So mm-hmm. We're going to take a little break now, and we're going to come back here with the folks from
One safe
brain glitch here. Anyhow, you're listening to KCNR Radio, 96.5 and 1460 AM. And we'll take a break, and we'll see you back here shortly.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park is back open for exploration. See the West Coast Biennial Art Exhibition featuring diverse pieces by artists up and down the West Coast. Enjoy the Visible River Aquarium, Caverns Exhibits, Parrot Playhouse, and more. There's something for everyone to discover at Turtle Bay.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 24th and 5th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for the outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 24th and 5th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Axe throwing, Euro bungee. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, 12 and under are free. Sunday, we honor our veterans with free admission all day. For CDC social distancing and masks recommended. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 24th and 5th. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Jefferson State Adventure Hub, Crown Motors, and Reading Yamaha and Sea-Doo.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Turtle Bay Spring Plant Sale coming up on Saturday, April 3rd. Members and non-members will enjoy discounts on regular nursery prices. California native and climate acclimated plants from all around the world. Time to grow strong and healthy right in your own backyard. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Okay, get on the phone. Thanks, Jared. That's a good cut to play. Welcome back. You're here with KCNR Radio. Streaming live at KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. A lot of people tell us when the AM goes out, which it used to go out from time to time, they'd call into the studio, say the radio's out. And Jared would get the call, and he'd tell them, we have an FM station. They're like, you do? So if you're listening, we're streaming, we're live on AM and live on FM. Right now, though, we're talking with the folks from One Safe Place. We have with us Amanda, sorry about that,
okay.
Lampert and Kelsey DeFilippo.
Yep, that was perfect.
Thank you, yeah. And we've been talking about the One Safe Place shelter and what services they offer. They also have a website that you can go to if you're listening now. It's ospshasta.org. OSP, that's for One Safe Place, Shasta.org, resources. And we've been talking about the dynamics of how men or women, mostly women, leave a relationship and all that. And it can be very difficult. And so I'm looking at something on their website right now that is called the Power and Control Wheel. Power and Control Wheel. And I'm hoping that maybe if I could go through this with you guys, it'll help people to understand the steps or how people get to the point where they end up leaving and how they can recognize certain signs in a relationship that, things are going south.
Yeah, definitely. So the power and control wheel is basically where you see an imbalance of power between one person and their partner. And so in this case, the perpetrator has some kind of power over their abuser. And there are many tactics that they use to keep that person, in the relationship, basically. Some of them are using intimidation. So maybe just by that one look across the room puts the victim back in place. Using emotional abuse, which a lot of survivors say is the worst part of the abuse. It's often not the physical part. Again, it's
someone doesn't have to be physically abused to be in a domestic violence situation. It could be just emotional abuse. But if every single day of your life you're hearing you're worthless, you know, you're a piece of garbage, you're this, you're that, no one's going to believe you, that eventually gets to your identity. It gets to your core, and you start to feel so hopeless and so worthless.
Oh, yeah.
And it steals your voice, basically.
Right. That's so sad.
It does not take long.
No. No.
How long?
Weeks.
Yeah.
That's you can either affirm someone by saying positive things to them and that builds them up, or you mm-hmm. continue to do that. And if it's continual, it can be weeks.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And there's also using isolation, so maybe taking that person from their support system. All of a sudden, you know, your friend who used to hang out with you a lot doesn't have time for you or is constantly, you know, with their partner, and they're like, I don't want you to talk to your mom anymore. I don't want you to hang out with your friends anymore. So that's a big issue.
And what they will tell you is, you don't need your friends. Mm-hmm. You've got me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's
pretty sounds like control to me.
Right.
Right.
And I've noticed this in relationships. If a young man wanted to date one of our daughters and he was not interested in being with the rest of the family, that was always a red flag for me. You know, what's the reason? I mean,
yeah,
when you marry
that is
someone,
a red flag.
Yeah, when you marry someone, you're marrying the whole family, essentially. Mm-hmm. So we have on the line right now, I know this person calling it is named James. It's really probably not a pseudonym. Is that what I'm looking
an
for?
Anonymous call.
An anonymous call, right. And so, Jane, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, thanks for calling in. Are you calling in because you identify with what we're talking about today?
Yes, I do. I have actually had to use One Safe Place, and I just wanted to express appreciation for what they do. I know women get in some really complicated situations, and it's very difficult to get out. And, you know, you think that you sometimes are self-delusional because you think that the person is not going to actually hurt you, but you know, as I got closer to leaving my husband, he told me he would kill my horse and burn the house down. And, you know, I ended up at One Safe Place, and they helped me with a restraining order and helped me figure things out. I appreciate them very much.
What made you decide to actually go to them? I mean, what point and what, you know, what was it, a series of things, or pushed you over the edge, or how did that go down?
You know, it scared me as his behavior got, we had talked about separating, and as his behavior got worse, you know, I got scared and I didn't know where to go, and I had learned about One Safe Place, and I was able to stay with friends for a while, but friends can be reluctant because they usually know both of you, and, you know, then they worry that the husband's going to get crazy and do something weird, and you know, so I ended up just contacting One Safe Place, and it was just a lifesaver for me.
We so appreciate you calling in and sharing with us, and we don't want to put any more distress on you. It's a difficult thing to come through and to move on and move forward in your life and have reassurance that you not only did the right thing, but that you are a wonderful human being worth every bit of effort that it took to move you forward in this. And I know that that's one of the things that One Safe Place does. They don't just leave you at the end. They have the full services. They'll move forward in the counseling and the help, extended help, not just, you know, an emergency place to stay for a week or two, whatever. It's a long-term commitment with them. And I'm presuming that that's for you the same thing.
Yeah, that's right. It was amazing. It really gave me the boost that I needed. And I know, you know, unfortunately, so many women like me kind of don't think that things can really go awry. But then, you know, oftentimes there's just tremendously bad things. You know, there was the couple in Shingletown that
yes,
a lot of abuse going on, and then it ended up in murder. And it's so sad and it's so hard. So thank God for One Safe Place.
Mm-hmm. And so, caller Jane, what would you recommend if you had one word for women that are in your situation before you get you off the line here? What would you recommend for them?
One Safe Place. Okay. Because everything can be put together there for you, you know, and you can get the support you need, because emotionally it's tremendously hard. So, yes.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you.
Oh, I just want to applaud your courage for even, you know, coming out here and kind of sharing your story with us. And I think we never know who might be listening and who just needed that little bit of courage to get out of that situation and ask for help. So I'm just glad to hear your story and hear that you're on the other side of it.
Yeah, this is Kelsey. I agree with Amanda. Definitely your courage to call is very much appreciated. You know, I know it takes a lot of vulnerability to share with strangers, to out in the public, and so it can encourage others to get help as well. So thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Amanda?
Oh, am I in the last minute?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you guys for having us. I just want to reiterate, One Safe Place is available to anybody who needs help with domestic violence or sexual assault. One thing that we didn't really get to, but I'll say it really fast, is that anybody can be an active bystander. And even when we talk about rape culture, that looks like, you know, if someone makes a sexist joke or tries to say an inappropriate comment, it's actually calling them out and saying, knock that off, or I don't like it when you say that. Think about how you would react if it was towards your daughter or your friend. So if you need help, just make sure you call us. We're at 530-244-0117.
Thank you both of you for being here. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?